to the Stay at Home Mom Yeah Right podcast. You are about to listen to my mom. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you like it, please give it 5 stars. Thank you.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Stay at Home Mom, Yeah Right podcast. I'm Sarah Smith, your host, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Kim Miller. She is a wife to her high school sweetheart and mom of 4 children, 2 from the womb and 2 from the heart. She's the first African-American poet laureate of Prince William County in Virginia from October 2020 to October 2022. She is also a parent advocate, motivational speaker, author, host, and facilitator. Welcome to my podcast, Kim.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How has this past year been for you and your family?
It's been very interesting in a good way some days and a bad way other days. Some family members have gotten COVID, some haven't. So no one has died from COVID. We've lost members, but none from COVID. And so it's been a really different time for us.
Yeah, this year has been definitely different. I hope that those who got COVID were able to heal okay.
Yes.
You are a divorcee who helps women overcome the challenges of divorce. How were you able to get to that point?
I had to look at it from a different perspective because when my kids were younger, that's when I got divorced. And they wanted to see their dad immediately. And I'm like, there is no way I'm going to see that man anytime. Are you? And then I had to look through my children's eyes because they weren't part of the marriage. They're part of the divorce. So I couldn't let my pain envelop them, overtake them, and make them part of our marriage issues. So when I started thinking about, I need to put that to the side. Not to be, you know, his BFF or anything, but so that my kids can interact with him and me not be sitting there gritting my teeth or, you know, doing, you know, making noises or under my breath. And then I thought about it. I'm like, how many other women or men, because it's reverse, it could happen either way, are going through the same situation where they are living through pain that they feel the other person caused or the marriage is over. It could be both people's fault. And that they have to put that aside for their kids. So I was determined to make sure that I got to the moms and to the dads too, but really to the moms, because if a man sold a group of women, you know, you guys really need to let them see their dad, even if they're mad, they'd be like, oh, so you were the one who cheated, huh? Now you're going to come tell us what we need to. So I figured I needed to write that book. I needed to speak to women about that because me coming from that same atmosphere changes the conversation.
Why do you feel that parents who are divorced, separated, or who don't like one another use their pain to replace their logic?
Because they don't even realize they're doing it, first of all. If you went to a parent and said, you're using your pain to, they'd be like, not me. I know people like that, but it's not me. It's because feelings jump before logic. And people say, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Means feelings talk quicker than your logic does. Your pain talks quicker than common sense. So your pain will speak for you before logic will. And you're not even realize your pain is talking. You're talking from a hurt place. You're talking from the last person that hurt you, not the person you're with now. That's just commonly how human beings do it. So if you don't realize you're doing it, how can you stop doing it? So my role is to get people to see that they're doing it so that they can address it. Definitely don't pass it on. We have enough generational issues as they are. We don't need to pass on speaking, letting pain speak for you as opposed to love, truth, and honesty. Not that pain can't, but it can't be the only voice that's heard.
Why do parents use their kids as revenge to get back at their ex?
Well, unfortunately, we use what works. And kids sometimes are that weapon because we know that the significant other really wants to see them, really wants to interact with them, really wants to spend time with them. That was their ace, their bud, their little person, whatever nickname they had for them. So when you're mad, you're like, if you don't get to see little so-and-so, that's my way to get back at you. Because now you're going to feel some of the pain to which I think you inflicted on me. Or and it's not always a matter of cheating. Sometimes people just grow apart, go their separate ways, but people don't see it that way. They see it as you left me. And if you left me, you left your kid. But that's not the situation. Sometimes they're not in a relationship with you, but they still love their children.
Your now husband was your high school sweetheart.
Yes.
How did you know you were ready to move on from your ex-husband and that you were fully healed to date and then eventually marry again?
Yeah, that's a long, complicated story. But we were engaged first. We were high school sweethearts. Broke up, married different people, moved to a different state, found each other again, fell in love again, and got married. So it's a really strange, and we didn't move to the same state for each other. So,
wow. So it was just meant to be.
Yeah, it was just meant. It was definitely meant to be. It was one of those things. I definitely was healed because I got past that. I had dated past before him and I was in another relationship and he had been in a relationship before me too. So we both were at that time. We were like, it's time to find somebody serious. And I think that's kind of when we bumped back into each other again. And we were like, Hey, how are you? Fine, and you? And as they say, the rest is history.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. You believe that encouragement is a gift that we all possess, but sometimes we don't offer this gift as often as positive. What do you say to divorced parents or who are down and stuck in a rut?
Yes, you have got to, and I say this on a place of understanding that I don't know what each one of you are going through and there's no universal pain and I can't speak you off of, you know, what you've gone through. So please don't think I'm trying to minimize what you've gone through or are going through because I am not. I have not walked an inch in your shoes and I cannot understand or speak for your pain. But what I'm asking is for you not to say things like, you're nothing just like your dad or your dad's a monster or your mom is... Who cares? Because a lot of times they look like that parent that you're talking about. And even though you didn't mention them, they are covering themselves in those words. So if they hear you calling them nothing, they're not going to be anything. And sometimes we actually do that. You're going to be nothing like your mom. Your mom was nothing. Your dad didn't do much. So we want to be very sure of the words we use. So we want to encourage as much as possible. We want to tell them, you are a beautiful diamond, even though me and your mom didn't get along. How can I be mad at her when I look at the jewel that you are? That's a lot different than you're going to be nothing like your mother. Right. I may not agree with your dad and everything he's done, but he gave me you. And for that, I'll be forever grateful. And you have a lot of his great traits. So that's how you encourage your kids with things about the parent without pulling them down and make them feel the weight of the situation that you are in.
Right. Because I would imagine they're already going through so much as it is.
Exactly.
Let alone to be pulled down by another parent.
Exactly.
Yeah. Someone who's supposed to be their protector and guide. I read that you never used to be a great speller and now you are a lover of words. You are an author and a poet and now the first African-American poet laureate of Prince William County in Virginia. Congratulations.
Thank you.
When and how did you know you were a great writer and good with words?
I wasn't when I was younger. That's why I talk to kids all the time. I'm like, I'm not good at essay. If you would have told me I would be a poet and write consistently, I would have laughed hard. It would have been a big joke. I couldn't spell. I was horrible at spelling. And my parents tried to help me. I was just like, I got better, but I still was never excellent at it. So if you think of that in a writer and a poet and performance, never. I think I started to get really serious and say, you know, I could do this about 10 years back. And I think I really got serious about poetry and writing and performing poetry. And a funny story is my husband once went to an event of mine. He hadn't gone. This is when I really got early into poetry. And he told me on the way home why he went. So me and my BFF have been going, my daughter. Now, these are truth tellers. I don't know why he thought they would be lying. But anyway, long story short, he didn't think they wanted to tell me that I shouldn't be poeting. So he went to an event so he could take notes on what I was saying and then tell me on the way home, babe, you know, this poetry thing ain't for you. It's okay, babe. You're so good at other things. Don't worry about it. But he went and he's listening. He's like, oh my goodness, she's good. She's really good. Oh, I can't believe it. Wow, she's good. On the way home, he didn't even tell me then. Like a couple weeks later, he goes, by the way, I went because I was going to tell you, you know, honey, don't do that. But you were so good. I'm like, wow.
You know you're real good when your husband tells you, because you know they'll tell the truth. Exactly. They hold nothing back.
Exactly.
How does one get the title of Poet Laureate?
It really depends on your county, your state, or your country, because there's one for the United States. Each country, state, county, municipal, whatever, has different rules. For me, it's a 2-year position and you apply and you send in your poems with no names. So your names can go out to different people and they read your work, and all the people who applied, they read everyone's work, and whoever got the most votes along with their platform and their resume, I think they combined the two, was chosen Poet Laureate. And I was chosen in 2020 and I'm the first African-American.
Wow. That is amazing. What do you have to do as the Poet Laureate?
Now, that's the good part. That you decide, that's something you send in with your application. So you tell them up front, here's what I plan on doing. And so I had several plans. One was to bring us into the social age, because we were not on any social media. We didn't have a website or anything. And I was like, okay, we're here now. Can't go back. So I think I'm on everything. Well, I won't say everything because, you know, every day they bring up nothing social. But I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Clubhouse, TikTok. So you name it, Twitter. And I have my own page. So that part is done. The next thing I wanted to do is go into schools. I'm still trying to get into supermarkets. Yes, supermarkets. Wow. Because people need to know that poetry is everywhere, is everything, is not what they think. Because I still go places and they're like, roses are red. I'm like, oh no. No, that's not not poetry, but that's not what only poetry is. And it doesn't have to rhyme, and there's different forms. So I've been going into schools. That was part of my platform, to go into schools and Prince William, Maryland, and DC. Even though I'm Prince William Poet Laureate, I go everywhere. And I'm also going into different libraries. I have something set up, I think, for a couple in Prince William and a couple of Manassas. And I go to places that aren't traditional for poetry, because I want people to know that poetry has grown and poetry is beautiful and poetry is hip. Poetry is whatever you think it is and whatever you think it isn't. So I'm trying to change people's mind on what poetry is and what it isn't. And normally when they think of poet, they come in there like, here we go. Go ahead. And then I'll drop a couple and they're like, oh, this isn't boring. No, it isn't. It doesn't have to be.
That's wonderful. Do you go into schools and encourage those children who might say, like, I'm a terrible writer, and
yes,
relate to them as someone who was young thinking that they weren't a great writer?
Absolutely. And scholar? And I talk to the ones who think they're not poets. I talk to the ones who think they are poets. And I talk to the ones who aren't thinking about poetry. And then I do poems that they can identify with. I do some on Marvel. I do some on Fortnite. And like, wait. You could do Marvel and Fortnite? Poetry is whatever you define it to be. It's beautiful. It's broad. It's open. And then I show them, you know, different techniques of writing. And sometimes I even critique them. So, but the little poets, they come up and they do their poems. And I'll say, hey, that was fantastic. Why don't you do this and this and this? And that'll make your presentation even better. So it's there's so many avenues for them. And poetry in the youth market is skyrocketing.
Wow. That's so exciting. to see how much you can do with it. What has been the biggest joy for you as a poet laureate?
The biggest joy. The biggest joy is when people say, I see someone that looks like me who is poet laureate, and I think I can do it too. That was the biggest joy, that someone looked at me and said, you know, someone who's not that they couldn't have done it before, but as you know, it's nice to see the form of that person that looks like you doing something you thought, could I do that? And, you know, they've had other examples, but to see someone locally doing it makes a difference.
Representation matters.
Yes.
What do you say to that person who wants to be a poet but is too nervous to get started?
Definitely. There's no wrong way to poet. That's what I love about poetry. There was a time when, you know, if you didn't speak it in a certain way, you weren't a poet. If you weren't quietly delivering your lines, you weren't a poet. Now this poet and spoken word poet, and for those of you who don't know the difference, the poet basically reads their words, and the spoken word poet is supposed to make you feel their words. So they're gonna present their poem a little differently than just reading it. So with those two different types of poets, you can do anything. If you just want to read it and you don't want to give a lot of inference, then be a poet. Write what you want. Say it the way you want. It doesn't have to rhyme. That's the way it used to be. Your poem doesn't rhyme. You're not a poet. Now it's freehand writing. Get your point across. That's what's more important than if it rhymes or not. It's, did you state what you wanted to state? Did you get people to feel what you wanted them to feel? So the beauty of it, the simplicity and the complexity of it, is what makes poetry great, because it's whatever you say it is.
So you're teaching me something there too. What would you say? What would you tell your teenage self?
Don't listen to fear, because she's a liar. And fear is what makes hesitation and plans. Well, what if, you know, the curse word, that's a curse word for me. If it's a curse word. What if that doesn't, and what if such and such, and what if it does? What if you do? Somebody has to be the first. Stop saying it's not going to be you. It could very well be you. So what? They didn't accept that before. So what? That wasn't what they were looking for. Sometimes people don't know what they're looking for until it's right in front of them. And even if you get 1,000 no's, don't think you're the first person to get it. You could be the one to change everything if you keep going.
I need to marinate on that one. That was fantastic. What do you do for self-care? I know that you're super busy with work and you're a mom and a wife. Do you have time for self-care?
Absolutely. Self-care is mandatory. I do self-care every day. I'm a night owl. So I'm the latest one up in the house. And that is my self-care time. That's my me time. Everybody is asleep. I can do whatever I want, whichever way I want. If I just want to write, if I just want to watch something, that's my self-care time. And I make sure I have it every single day. I have to have that time. It's crucial.
Well, thank you so much, Kim, for taking your time out today to speak with me. And I wish you all the best. And
thank you.
Keep going. Keep going.
I will.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
You have just listened to the Stay at Home Mom Yeah Right podcast with my mom. I hope you enjoy listening. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you liked it, please give it 5 stars. Thank you.